How many of you ate last Thursday? You didn't eat? You fed them, didn't you?
Yes.
But you're not going to eat tonight.
No, I'm a magician.
you're in trouble. I was going to ask how good it was. Good, and, you know, even think you ate, so it couldn't have been too good. But anyway, you'll make up for it somehow. Anybody not eat? Not long ago, I was with a group of priests in Jamaica, and we were at one of our Food for the Poor feeding centers giving food to children. And the priest next to me was trying to give this boy a plate of food, but he wouldn't take it and actually start crying. And so Father bent down and asked the boy, "What's wrong? Aren't you hungry?" And the boy said, "Yes, I am. So Father said, here, take this." And the boy said, "No, I can't." And when Father asked the boy not, the boy's response was, "Because it's not my day to eat." As horrible as that is, unfortunately, it's not unusual in our world. In third world countries, families at times are so poor, food is so scarce, that each member of the family is assigned a day of the week in which he or she can eat. And if it's your day and there's food, you're indeed very, very lucky. But so often there's not. So kind of let that lull in the back of your mind as I speak to you, because it's a reality of life faced by sisters and brothers throughout our world. My very first trip with Food for Poor was also to Jamaica. And that for me was a life-changing experience because for the first time in my life, I saw poverty. As soon as you're off the airplane, a place like Jamaica, Haiti, third world countries throughout the world, you see people in the streets begging, begging for money, begging for food, begging for life. And you quickly discover that these people not only beg in the streets, this is also where they live. This is where they have family life and go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning. If they have food today, this is where they cook it and eat it. Those who are fortunate enough to have a house usually have a one-room shack about half the size of one-car garage. It's made of cardboard and tin, scraps of things they found here and there in the streets. The floor is dirt, so when it rains, it becomes mud. They have no electricity or running water. To bathe, they have to go down to a stream that the whole neighborhood uses to bathe themselves. The neighborhood also uses the stream to wash his clothes. So, as you can imagine, it's not very clean. It's dirty, polluted, even disease-ridden. But unfortunately, these people also have these streams for drinking water. And because of the dirt and pollution, because of other things, when they get sick, they virtually have no way of seeing a doctor. It's one doctor for thousands of people. And if all that weren't bad enough, one of the days during my trip, we went to a garbage dump. Long before we arrived there, because smelled the stench was the worst thing I've ever smelled in my whole life. It made you want to vomit, and some of us did. And as we began to drive this garbage dump, you see all kinds of animals, things I'd never even seen before. Thousands of vultures near, swooping down, grabbing something, and then flying off. And these animals are eating away at piles of garbage. And right next to the animals going through the garbage, looking for something to eat, were human beings. And every time a truck would come to dump garbage, these people would run after the truck. So when it actually stopped to dump the garbage, they could be there first in line so they could get the new garbage, the good garbage. Something they could take home to the families to feed them. Something they could take to the market to sell so they can feed and clothe themselves, feed and clothe their families. And this, too, is really happening in our world, happening to sons and daughters of our God in heaven, therefore happening to our sisters and brothers. Human beings starving to death, brothers and sisters having to go through garbage day after day after day in order to eat, in order to live and survive. And as I saw these things and so many more, the words of Jesus kept echoing in my mind, "Whatever you do to the least of your sisters and brothers, you do to me." It was then that I knew that in some way I would have to do something about the poverty in this world, about my starving brothers and sisters. It was then that I joined with Food for the Poor. And for over 14 years, I've been traveling throughout the United States to different parishes every weekend, to people like yourselves, to remind you as well as myself about our starving sisters and brothers, to beg you to reach out to them, to feed them, to clothe them, to love them. Because if we don't, no one will. If we don't feed them, they very well may die. The food store has been in existence for a little over 31 and a half years. And during this time, we've given life to countless numbers. People have had billions. And still, every day of the week throughout the world, about 50,000 people die of hunger. Can you imagine that? 50,000 people dying of starvation every single day of the week, 2/3 of which are children. And the crime of our world is enough money in this world, there's enough resources in this world, there's enough food in this world, so that no one ever has to go to bed hungry, let alone die of hunger. And yet every 4 or 5 days, 250,000 people do die of starvation. What a sin. And unless you think we go up to someone, say how much you need, and then give it to them, that's not our style. We don't just give away monies. What we do, though, is this. We'll go into a diocese, a parish, another organization, say to the priests, the sisters, the workers, how can we help you? What do you need? What do your people need? And it very well may be the need food, so we then buy that food at the lowest possible cost, bring it to the parish, gives it to the priests, the workers, who in turn then feed their people. But there are other needs in third world countries that are just as important, and I think probably in the long run even more so. Things like education and housing, things like jobs, things like medical help. And so these are all great ministries of food for the poor. We bring healing to the sick. We house the homeless. We educate children. We open up skills training centers to teach people how to farm, how to cook, how to sew, how to be auto mechanics, how to work with computers, how to go out into the ocean to deep sea fish. And then we give them the tools to accomplish these and many, many other things so they in turn can go out and earn a living, feed and clothe themselves and their families, and truly live as God intends every single of us in this church to live, truly live as God intends every single of his children throughout this world to live with dignity as a human being. At the ends of the pews is a brochure like this. I'd ask that those at the ends would pick up one and pass them out. Somebody has one, and there's plenty for young and old. Now, sometimes, though, the people at the ends don't do the job, so if you need one, just raise your hand. I'll be happy to get one to you. Somebody missed the whole section. Anybody else seen one? I'd ask you to spend a moment and look at this picture of this little guy on the front cover. Maybe flip the brochure, look at some of the other pictures. And ask yourself, what do I see? Who do I see? And hopefully as you look deeply in the eyes of the people in this brochure, you will recognize in them Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah, because just as surely as soon Jesus will be in your hand or on your tongue of communion, Jesus is present in these people and the millions of people throughout our world that they represent. If you open up your brochure, in the center of the very bottom is an envelope. And if you haven't already guessed, that's why I'm here today. In a moment, I'm going to ask that you fill this envelope with a gift. That's a fairly large envelope, so hopefully be a fairly large gift. But before I ask you to fill it up, I'm going to ask that you fill it out. Now, you might be saying to yourself, does he think I'm dumb? If I put my name and address on that envelope, I'm going to be in every mailing list in the country. Well, you won't be. I promise you, you won't be. We don't give this information away or sell it. We keep it to ourselves. But it's important for us to have it so we can write and say thank you. Thank you in the name of the people that you give life to through your gift. Now, we're going to send you mail. But we truly don't expect you to give every time we send out a mailing. The average person who receives a mail gives 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year. So why do we bother? Well, I think for a lot of reasons, but I think only 2 primary reasons. First of all, if we don't send out mail, guess what? Nothing comes back. And that means the poor continue to suffer. But a second reason that we can't exist without you. You are crucial to the work and ministry of Food for the Poor. We want you to be members of the Food for the Poor family. Read the stories as we send you. Spend time praying for the people that you read about. Pass the information on if you're so moved. A couple, 3 times a year to make a gift, that's tremendous. So I'd ask you to please put your name, your address, your telephone number on the envelope. There are a few pencils in the pews. I know many of you have pens and pencils in your pockets and purses, but if you do need a pen, just let me know and I'll somehow get one to you. And if you do have one, maybe you can share it if anybody needs one. Now, hopefully, while you're feeling that, you might be saying to yourself, well, that's all well and good. But with so much poverty in this world, what little I can give is not going to do much good. And besides, I'm poor myself. But let me tell you what your monies will do in the third world country. $3,200 will build a house for a family that lives in the streets, a rundown shack, lives in a garbage dump, lives in a tent city. $3,200. What's your mortgage on your house? Probably at least half of that. We don't hear much about Haiti anymore. Haiti is old news. That earthquake happened 3+ years ago. Even when Sandy hit our country, I remember watching the news and seeing the devastation that Sandy did here in the United States. The house was built on firm foundations of brick and stone. Think what that same hurricane did to our already horrible situation in Haiti. What that hurricane did in other third world countries. There are still a 500,000 people living in tent cities in Haiti from the earthquake and then things that happened since then. Elbow to elbow with hundreds and hundreds of other people surrounded by latrines. The conditions are horrible. My goal is to build at least one house in every parish that I go to. And so I ask this, hope that somebody in this church tonight will write a check for $3,200 or X amount of dollars for X amount of months, or use the credit card so that you, in your great love for your God, can move a family out of the streets, out of a shack, out of a garbage dump, out of a tent city into a mansion. These are plaques we give the people who build homes for the homeless. Picture the family, a picture of the house they receive. And if you'd like to double your monies, not too long ago, a couple of organizations came to us and said that for every house we build in Nicaragua, Honduras, or Jamaica, they will give us matching funds. So if you want to build a house, you put one of those three countries on your check or on the brochure. We will build a double home for a larger family. $500 will educate a whole class of children for a year. $205 will supply a pump for a village where now the young girls of that village have to walk down to a stream 3, 4, 5 miles or more and then back with heavy buckets of not so clean water on their heads. Your $205 will bring clean, fresh, living water to that village. And as a sideline, it will also then give those girls an opportunity to go to school to become educated because they don't have to waste their whole day going back and forth to a stream carrying heavy buckets of water. They could be educated. So as they grow and mature, they could be productive members of society. $43.80 will feed a child for a whole year. Think about that. What do you spend you go out to Burger King, McDonald's, Starbucks? What do you spend you go out to a restaurant? Now, I'm not trying to tell you not to do those things. Those things are important. I do them. We've got to do those things. But I'm just trying to put things in the balance of perspective. The average couple in our country, when they go out to a restaurant, spends over $50. For $43.80, we can feed a child for a whole year. That comes down to about 12 cents a day, 4 cents a meal. I don't know about you, but when I have change in my pocket, I throw it in the drawer. And at the end of the year, I kind of count it up. I have $200-$300 in there. The bottom line, though, is that for relatively small amounts of money, we can work great miracles. And so I ask you to look into your hearts and your souls and to make a gift. A gift can be cash, it can be a check. And there's even a place if you'd like to use your check card or credit card. Over 95% of everything that is given to Food for the Poor goes to programs for the poor. There is not going to be a special collection today. This is all there is. And you can just leave it here and go home and forget about it. Hopefully you won't do that. You can take it home with you and talk it over with your family, but so often you get in the car, put it in the glove compartment, a few days from now you're going to find, oh, there's that envelope I really meant to give. Well, it's too late now, I'll do it next year. It's never too late because it's a self-addressed stamp envelope and you can always mail it in. But in order to make things easy for you so you don't forget to procrastinate, so you save us postage. After Mass, I'll be right through those doors there. Unlock all the other doors so you all have to go out that way. I'll be back there after Mass. If you like, you can give me your envelope and I'll bring it the food for the poor myself. You can actually put it in the collection, give it to one of the ushers. As long as it's in this envelope, I'll get it and bring it the food for the poor. And so again, I ask you to make a gift to feed people like the man that I met at a garbage dump in Nicaragua. This man was 52 years old, and he told me that every single day of his life, since he was 12, he had to come to the garbage dump to look for something to eat or for something to bring to the market to sell so he can feed himself and his family. He said, I have no dreams, no hopes, except one. I hope that my son doesn't have to come to the garbage dump every day of his life in order to eat. Can you imagine living without dreams and hopes? And there's a story of Lester. Lester was brought to one of our centers when he was about a year old. And this is what he looked like. Lester was brought to this, as I said, brought to the center when he was about a year old. He weighed 9 pounds. His grandfather had brought him to 3 hospitals in Guatemala City. The first two said, there's absolutely nothing we could do for him. He's going to die, so take him home. Can you imagine hospital saying that? So he must have been in really, really bad shape. Third hospital said, he's going to die, but you can leave him here so he can die in comfort. The grandfather didn't quite buy into that, so brought Lester to Sister Christina, the head of our center in Guatemala City. And 6 months later, this is what Lester looked like. A little food, a lot of love, and life is renewed. And etched in my mind and heart forever is the image of this infant I saw at one of our clinics in Haiti. He was lying in a crib. His right leg was all bandaged up. The doctors named him Moses. So when found this infant in the sheets of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, a pig was eating away at his foot. This man chased his pig away, grabbed this infant, ran him to our clinic. Unfortunately, the doctors had to amputate the foot, but save baby Moses' life. Moses, too, is alive and healthy and happy, has a family, is being educated because of you, because of people like you, because of your generosity and your sacrifices. And there are only a couple of many, many, many examples I've personally seen of how your gifts work miracles, how your gifts bring life to the lifeless. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank those of you who made those miracles happen over and over and over again. And I pray that you continue to do so, because without you, without your help, many will surely die. And those of you hear about us for the first time today, I ask you to get involved in our ministry, because it is the ministry and the mission of Jesus the Christ. Look into the eyes of people like Lester and Moses, like the tens of thousands of people today will go to bed hungry. Recognize Jesus in them. They in turn will recognize Jesus in you. And I promise if you do that, when you go home today and you look into the mirror and you look deeply into the eyes of the person staring back at you from that mirror, you're going to recognize Jesus in yourself. It kind of disappeared, but I had with me a Haitian cookie. But most of you probably wouldn't want one of these cookies. And if you think you're poor, think about this for a moment. These Haitian cookies are made of clay, mixed with a little salt to give it flavor, baked in the sun. And the people of Haiti then feed these cookies to their children, because it fools their children to thinking that because their bellies are full, they are with dirt, with clay, because their bellies are no longer hungry. Yeah, we may be poor, but the people I'm talking about are desperate, destitute. They have no hope unless you and I reach out for them and give them hope. They have no food unless we feed them. and clothe them, give them opportunities for jobs so they can live like human beings. So please work a miracle to give life to a sister or brother, give life to Jesus, give life to yourself. God bless you and thank you very, very much.